Welcome to this custom deep dive. Imagine you are remodeling your house, right? The contractors put up a brand new wall, and suddenly your shared living room is split right down the middle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like a mess.
Right. You literally have a single couch sitting in two completely separate rooms. I mean, you can't just leave it sitting there in both rooms at once. You have to decide which room gets the couch, who pays to move it, and, well, how you're going to use the space now.
Yeah, especially since there is a hard physical barrier right through the middle of it.
Exactly. Now, if you split a real-world living room, you just move the furniture. But what happens when a country redraws its borders and, like, splits an entire town in half?
It gets a lot more complicated than moving a couch.
Totally.
Yeah.
So to find out, today's source is South Africa's Act Number 23 of 2005. That is the Cross-Boundary Municipalities Laws Repeal and Related Matters Act.
That is quite a mouthful.
It really is.
But our mission today is to uncover the invisible, highly complex logistical machinery required when a country entirely redraws its internal provincial borders. Okay, let's unpack this. Set the scene for us.
Well, to really grasp the scale of this, we need to look at the catalyst. In 2005, South Africa passed the Constitution 12th Amendment Act.
Okay, and what did that do?
It essentially drew a hard line in the sand, creating strict new provincial areas. Before this, they had what were called cross-boundary municipalities.
Basically, local governments that literally straddled two different provinces.
Right, like your couch sitting in two rooms.
Right.
But once the Constitution demanded hard lines, those blurred jurisdictions became a legal impossibility.
Wow, just like that.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is how this specific act acts as the ultimate legislative cleanup crew. It specifically repeals the older laws, like the ones from the year 2000, that allowed those overlapping towns to exist in the first place.
Okay, but wait. If you draw a hard line overnight, a town suddenly goes from being in what the act calls a releasing province to a receiving province,
Yeah.
like instantly.
Literally overnight, yes.
That sounds like a logistical nightmare. Wouldn't that instantly invalidate, I don't know, a citizen's driver's license? Or cause an immediate public service blackout because the old authorities just pack up their funding and
You
leave?
would think so.
Oh.
But the law actually functions as this massive shock absorber to prevent that exact disaster.
Oh, really? How so?
It explicitly states that any license, permit, or legal liability from the old releasing province remains completely binding
Until when, though?
until the new receiving province formally replaces it. So there's absolutely no gap in legality.
Interesting.
And it handles physical assets seamlessly, too.
Like buildings and land.
Exactly. Immovable property deeds automatically transfer to the receiving province with absolutely no transfer fees or duties. Citizens don't have to lift a finger for their property rights to remain intact.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Transferring a piece of land on paper is, you know, just an administrative rubber stamp.
Right, it is just paperwork.
Yeah, but you cannot magically transfer human staff, active police forces, or running hospitals. If one province is handing over a town to another, those two massive government bureaucracies have to sit down and agree on things.
They have to figure out who pays the teachers and who takes on the municipal debt.
Which, I mean, I've seen local city councils argue for 6 months over a stop sign, relying on two separate governments to just agree on handing over tax revenue or absorbing a failing clinic sounds like a recipe for a total stalemate.
Oh, totally. And that underlying human motivation to protect budgets and avoid new debt is exactly why bureaucratic stubbornness happens.
So the drafters of the act must have seen that coming.
They fully anticipated it. They knew local politicians would drag their feet. To force the issue, the law requires them to draft implementation protocols.
And if they refuse to agree on those protocols,
If the releasing and receiving provinces start fighting over the details, the National Council of Provinces is mandated to step in and mediate.
okay, but mediation can take forever in government.
Not here. They have exactly 2 months to mediate an agreement. The act sets a strict ticking clock from the very moment the borders change.
2 months? I mean, that is a blink of an eye. I would imagine politicians would just try to run out the clock to avoid taking a bad deal.
They could try, but a hard default kicks in.
Wait, what does that mean?
If that 2-month alarm goes off without an agreement, all functions, human resources, assets, and liabilities automatically transfer to the receiving province without any exception.
Oh, wow. So they just lose all their leverage.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this ticking clock is a brilliant mechanism. It prevents bureaucratic standoffs from paralyzing everyday local governance.
Because they either compromise and get some of what they want, or they lose control entirely.
Right. The government basically built a failsafe to guarantee that citizens don't suffer a loss of basic services while politicians bicker over budgets.
So what does this all mean? For you, the listener, this act is living proof that the invisible local borders you cross every single day don't just exist as neat little lines on a map.
They are highly managed, complex realities.
Yeah, they are held together by massive, temporary legislative scaffolding designed to keep society running smoothly during a major shift. It is the hidden architecture that keeps daily life from falling apart when the ground literally shifts beneath you.
It really is incredible when you think about it.
Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over. If a simple physical border shift requires this much intense legal architecture just to protect local permits and property deeds, how vulnerable might your modern digital identity and assets be if virtual or data borders suddenly change overnight? If a new digital wall is built right through your virtual living room, where does your data couch end up?